We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hello and welcome to the Her Hoop Stats podcast. I'm Gabe Ibrahim with Dano Mattia, who is in New York covering the WNBA draft, which just happened. It's pretty late here on the East Coast, folks. It's about 11:03. If you've caught our podcast from various locations during the NCAA tournament, you know that at some point we're going to fade here because we've had a lot of energy used up tonight, but it was a great night. The draft was unbelievable. Tons of surprises. We're going to get into all of our reactions, but Dano, just like, let me know what the vibe was like in New York.
The vibe was like Jay-Z's, you know, agent party. Everyone was dressed to the tens. I felt so underdressed. So wasn't a problem, though. Focus isn't on me.
No.
The energy in the room was awesome. You had some current WNBA players there, from Derek Hamby. Liberty, I think, had three players there, so good representation on them. Lisa Leslie was in the joint. Felt like she talked to every player who was at the draft.
Really? That's so awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I caught a picture of it a few times. Great ambassador of the game. The media room was packed to the brim. And then the draft setup was overall, I think, an awesome success. You know, Kathy Engelbert's first draft in person for her. So really excited for all the players. It's so cool. You feel bad for the last two drafts that didn't happen in person.
No, I thought the moment was really there. And you had all the stars and everyone's outfits. And by the way, hold on. We should mention, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Our Twitter names are going to pop up, or maybe they did. I don't know. I'm going to edit this late night, so anything can happen in this video at the moment. Just make sure you're subscribed because we appreciate it. But back to the draft. I thought, yeah, I'm with you. It was just like, it felt nice to be back, like a lot of things. And I wasn't there because I went to the women's Final Four, and unfortunately that's turned into a bit of a super spreader event. Everyone seems good, but I made like a panic attack decision when I was at Amtrak. I was like, I've been a little sick. I just heard from a bunch of people that they got sick. They tested positive. So I was like, I'm not going to go. I'm going to keep myself out of it.
Which I think you're a hero.
You know, I just sacrifice often. And shouts to Amtrak for making pretty much any travel cancelable. But I thought the draft, though, like it being in person was important for these players. I thought they got to have a moment. They got to, you know, show off their fits. I thought that whole part of it was really great, and it got a ton of attention. And I think it brought in, you know, people that are interested in that side of the game while also being interested in the actual on-court stuff. And I think the draft kind of brings that together, right?
Absolutely. And it was cool. They did a few events in the city. The players went to a few courts, and seeing, you know, young girls showing up at these basketball courts. And I mean, the player that they hounded more than anybody was actually Destiny Henderson.
Like, really?
It was the cutest thing I've ever seen. Also, like, just inspiring, like seeing her outreach to New York was super cool. And then earlier this morning, they all went to the Empire State Building, where they lit the tower orange in honor of the WNBA. So just cool experiences for these players. And, you know, I'm butchering her name, Nayara Savli, was adamant about, you know, help getting pics with her Polaroid camera and her disposable camera. So I'm happy to say that I took at least one picture, I think, of her and Sedona Prince this evening on that disposable camera. I hope she doesn't lose it tonight. Who knows how crazy it'll get.
You know, I feel like I was just like workshopping a theory about like how this draft was so impacted by the Spice Girls and TLC and like Destiny's Child and all like our early 90s bands, because like I don't know, I saw Hailey Van Lith there. I swear I think I saw that outfit in Spice World, the Spice Girls movie, at some point. I think Ginger Spice wore it. I'm gonna find the picture if it exists. If I'm right, I'll find the picture, I'll send it out. But I was like, this is very 90s fashion, the Polaroids and disposables. Sounds very 90s.
Seeing her, nobody else kind of caught your eye more. I mean, it wasn't just like the, you know, the pink up top and then the white. It was the pink accented glasses.
Yes.
I'm 99% sure the person with her was her stylist. It was also all in pink. She was like probably 50% of the conversation before the draft. Everyone was talking about Haley's outfit. I got to talk to her for a little bit and ask her some questions, and she was just dripping in swag and confidence tonight.
No, she's all, I feel like that's always her. The only time I've ever seen her without that swag and confidence was when Miami beat them in the ACC tournament. And there we go. Our requisite Miami mentioned on the podcast. All right, Dana, let's talk about the actual draft. Obviously there was a ton of surprises. There was a lot of things. The top three go pretty much according to plan. We have Ryan Howard, Nelissa Smith, Shakir Austin. We can kind of circle back to that if we want to. But I do want to get to from four on, I think we could have surprises. I think that's where we saw a lot of intrigue happening. So what for you is the first moment where you said, wow, like I was not expecting that in this draft?
I think the obvious answer is six. Mm-hmm. With Lexi Hull. Not a single mock draft I saw scouring the internet had her in the first round. Most of the time when I saw second rounds, I didn't see her there either. But I think I'll start with pick four, Emily Anxler. I know you mentioned probably her more than anyone. Her draft stock improved more than anybody else. But I really expected Kristen Bell to go way higher. I want to say like at least 80% of the mock drafts I looked at Kristen Bell going fourth or Sobley going fourth. But it seemed like everyone was expecting it in the room after Anxler's name got called. There was no shock at all. Sobley to five seemed natural. It seems like the Liberty were looking for a big, so that made sense. But yeah, as soon as Lexi Hull's name dropped, everyone in the room definitely kind of at least had a buzz around it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it was pretty shocking. Call it six. But I mean, Anxler at four too. It was. I agree with you. It was a little bit shocking because I think we had, you know, four, five, six. A lot of people had Bell, myself included, had Bell, Soberly, Anxler. Well, I had Cloudon at five, and we'll talk about the Nia Cloudon hive in just a moment. She will get a lot of a run on this podcast. But Anxler, yeah, I think it was a little surprising for him to go there, not necessarily because of her talent, just because like it's a weird fit now with Nelissa Smith. Like this is I think one of the things I really liked about Anxler, one of the things we saw in the tournament was like, hey, maybe she could be a four. Like, you know, don't look at the stats too hard against South Carolina. If you watch the tape, she played Aaliyah Boston decently considering the size difference. I think she'd play a lot of players. She played up to their size. And that showed, hey, maybe she could be a four. Maybe she could be a three. Maybe we don't have to push her into that 3-4 transition, which is so hard to do in the WNBA, that, you know, hey, maybe we can get a little bit more versatility out of her if you have her in that spot. Well, now, Nelissa Smith is going to take over that four spot naturally. So now you're kind of pushing Engstler to the three, which it may have been her ultimate destiny, but I think she got to do it a lot sooner. So that's where the surprise comes in. And then, yeah, Lexi Hall, you know, certainly not, it's not crazy that she went in the first round, but going at six was high. Going at six was, I think, high. I think a few people around the league also, like, you know, said like that seems a little high for Lexi Hall. But then you step back, right? Like, let's step back on Indiana for a second. They got Nelissa Smith. They get Emily Engstler. They get Lexi Hall. They get Queen Egbo at 10. And they get Destiny Henderson at 20. And it's like, if you had told me that they had gotten those players in a different order, I would have been like, that's amazing. So I think we just have to, like, I think it's fair to say they had a really good draft still.
It's a valid point. Valid point. I mean, Destiny Henderson at 20, obvious steal. It's, I mean, the roster composition is just something to look at. It's hard to put together right now in my head. But I mean, if I think about the end of the last WNBA season, I feel like that team made a lot of strides. Definitely started playing a lot better than they have been playing. And thinking about the weapons that they do have in Kelsey Mitchell and Tiffany Mitchell, it's just hard to picture the guards fitting in there, even though they do need more. So I just can't. You said it's not crazy for her to go in the first round. It's just it's still crazy to me that Lexi Hall went before Destiny Henderson, and they ended up on the same team.
And like a lot. Like, it wasn't like it was like the Nets. It wasn't even the next pick of the team. It was like late in the second. I think that was another shock, is just how far Destiny fell. I guess, you know, and I'm going to try to do some reporting or something, like trying to figure out like why she fell. Maybe it's her size. Maybe it was this, maybe it was that. You know, certainly it seems like she had a lot of momentum coming in, like Engstler did. So it was a little surprising to see her fall that far. But still, for Henderson, like I mentioned, like, this is not a bad landing spot. If you look at the teams that were in the second round here, around 20, where she got drafted. So if she got drafted anywhere else in the second round, there's not like a ton of roster spots there. Like Atlanta has one, Washington has one, Vegas had one at the top of the second round, you know? So it's just like, there wasn't a ton of spots. So if she got drafted to, like, say the Sparks or something, then, well, it's like, well, she may be in danger of not making it. At 20, if she's as good as we think she is, and I hope she will be, she's probably making this team. So I think it turned out okay for Destiny. It just wasn't what we pictured. And I think that's the same thing for Indiana. It's like, it turned out okay for them. It was just not the way we pictured. And they gave us some excellent content. So thank you again, Fever. No matter who is the GM, no matter who is the GM there, just continue making seemingly random draft picks. And hopefully it'll work out for you guys one day. Well, I want you guys to succeed, but I need the content as well.
I can get behind that, but I did see a lot of banter on Twitter about their draft, and I don't think they're looking at it holistically. I think they should be taking the Gabe Ibrahim approach. Take a step back. Look how pretty it is at the end of the day. And there's nowhere to go but up with this team. So should be happy, Fever fans.
And I believe that is the most I've talked about the Indiana Fever on a podcast so in like the last two seasons. So good job, Fever. We're pulling for you. All right, let's keep moving. Where else were the surprises for you? You know, I'd say, so as we mentioned, Sobley goes 5 to New York. I think that was a pick a lot of people saw, just, you know, had bantered about, just because she has a very high upside. They could use a center going forward. She may not be anything because of the injuries, but I think that's fine. Hall goes 6, as we mentioned. Veronica Burton goes 7th to Dallas. Not too surprising. I had her lower, but I was like, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if she's the first guard taken.
7 through 12, I felt like was a natural fit. Maybe even 6, but yeah.
Yeah, I thought I would have probably taken Nia Clown over her, but I get it, because like Burton also has a kind of unique skill set and does something that's a little different. Although I think we talk a lot about her defense, but we don't often mention that she only played zone in college. And I think that's a big deal. I think it's a very difficult transition. I think the reason she got drafted seventh truly is because of her offense. Her offense is great. She's a great distributor. She can shoot. Well, she can shoot kind of. And she does a lot off the bounce. So I think that's why what pushed her to get drafted. We talk about her defense a lot. I just wanted to know, like, what's your take on her playing so much zone and how you see that translating?
The zone part, I really didn't think about until you brought up, and it is interesting, but I mean, I've been on her offense for a while. I mean, she averages almost 18 a game in a tough conference. I mean, the Big Ten is physical she really holds her own. So I was happy to say, you know, I saw her earlier in the weekend, so it wasn't just tonight with her wearing heels. She does look bigger in person. So that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I think it's a great fit for that team. I think that's one thing. I don't know if the point guards they have right now are the answer. And I think Mabry often gets caught up bringing the ball up too many times and would be great off ball. I think she's got the personality and probably the work ethic to come in and play the way Veronica Johnson wants. So, you know, I think that's like the perfect spot for her.
You combine Veronica Burton and Vicky Johnson. Oh,
thank you.
I was like also thinking like that'd be a hell of a basketball player if we put those two together. Thank you. I gotta find some tip. But regardless, I agree with you, and like I think she could be an answer there at point guard. I think I have to dig a little bit more just to see how the fit works, because I think, you know, Mabry works really well, but I'm with you. I don't think she can play the one that often. So I got to dig into a little bit more of the fit, just like how much Burton can do off the ball with a player like Arike. Cause she's never played with a player like Arike at Northwestern. So no one's played with it. I was about to correct myself. No one has played with a player like Arike. So Burton's cool. The Aces had an interesting draft, and maybe this is where we stop for a second, talk about the Aces. So Maya Hollingshead from Colorado is the eighth overall pick. So that's a pick you should remember that they traded up for.
Yes.
They traded their first round pick next year and swapped their second round pick, I believe, for number eight and Minnesota's second round pick as well. So they get Hollingshead, which was kind of shocking. Not like super shocking, but shocking that she went ahead of Kirsten Bell. They end up getting Kirsten Bell anyways at 11, which might be the steal of the draft. And then at 14, at the first pick in the second round, 13, they get Kayla Pointer, which we definitely should have seen coming, considering that she is the niece of the general manager in Las Vegas, a team that needed guards that do things that Pointer does. So what's your take on the Aces draft?
Everyone I talked to, every mock draft I looked at, Hollingshead is nowhere to be found. Anywhere above, I think, 17.
So
below 17.
I do want to shout out SB Nation's Eric Numchuk. I'm gonna tell you, Eric has been on Hollingshead for a while, and he had her. Oh, he didn't stick to it. He has her at 19 in the final mock, but he had her like eighth in his original big board. He's been on her, but I just wanted to give him a shout out because he has been Team Maya.
I talked to him today about his latest after the trade and seeing if he had any kind of major changes. And I want to say he stuck this morning. He stuck Nia Cloud in there in that eighth spot. But yeah, I mean, I was expecting just not that. If you're trading up for the eighth pick, you know, I'm thinking you're taking some other big name off the board. And I think you could have got in Hollingshead later, but excellent point about Pointer, and Kirsten Bell. There's so many weapons on that team as it is, and I think their pace. I mean, every single player they drafted fits their pace. Who knows what it's going to be like with Becky Hammon, but the pace that they had last year, at least, is going to be so nice with any of these three that, you know, could potentially be on the roster and get playing time.
Yeah, and I don't think I wouldn't bet on Becky Hammon slowing it down from Bill Laimbeer. Yeah. If anything, I think they may go faster. But they, I mean, I think I haven't done all the maths yet, but all of those draft picks I just mentioned should fit into the roster. They certainly plug in holes there for the Aces, and the Aces are trying for a championship. That's no secret. So I think those three players that they got in the first and second round could be contributors, and they're hoping that at least one of them can contribute soon. So I'm with you. It was a little weird that they traded up for Hollingshed. But I'm guessing they had some intel. I don't know, man. I don't know how some of this stuff works, because everyone, let me tell you, I think I've said this on this podcast a bunch of times, I don't believe anybody come draft time. I think everyone is lying to me. The only people I believe are the ones that are speaking in platitudes, and I appreciate it, because it's like, okay, at least you're not like directly lying to my face. I don't believe anybody in draft time. So I don't know how their intel worked. Maybe someone said we're gonna take Hollingshed, and then bada bing, bada boom. They had to move up for it, but I think they end up getting the higher ceiling player in Bell. I think Hollingshed is gonna really fit in there. And I think Pointer can plug some gaps at the one and two. If they have space or can't find a better alternative. But I mean, I think, you know, yeah. being you drafted your niece gives you a pretty good chance to make the team. So where else do you want to go? I mean, I think New York had a really interesting draft. I think Washington did some interesting things, and obviously we have to talk about Nia Cloudon. So whichever one of those you want to go to.
But before we get to that, I think we did kind of skip over, we kind of ran through the Fever. I hate to go back to the Fever right away, but I want to give credit to I think it's Michelle Veeple from ESPN. She had Queen Egbo in her like original mock draft, at least like two or three versions ago. Mm-hmm. And I looked into it and I was like, well, this makes sense. And I didn't understand why she was falling. So there were a lot of cheers when she got drafted in the first round. Definitely from the professionals table that was sitting close. So I guess I'll say I'm not surprised with that pick.
I agree with that. I mean, I think she was a first round pick at some point, like you're mentioning, like Volpe had her in the first. I was just a little surprised because, like, now we have a whole front court log, but they do need a center, and she is a center. And she does work with Melissa Smith. So I'm with you. I think, you know, it wasn't that shocking. Okay, but we're 20 minutes and we got to talk about Nia Cloudon.
Yeah,
we're here. We got to talk about
yes.
So she was a apple of my eye. You're part of the Nia Cloudon Hive. We have several other members. I had my shirt on earlier today. There's a very small and ferocious group of Nia Cloudon fans. I know you got to talk to her, so I want to hear about that. I also want to hear about, you know, what you think of her. I mean, falling from where I had her, but still getting in the first round with the Sun.
One, I don't think there's a more humble, kinder human being. No. It's so easy to root for this person. Just so caring. She was also another one of the players who was quick to talk to any of the children at the events.
Oh, awesome.
on Sunday. I mean, she's one of those people that, unlike Veronica Burton, does seem smaller in person. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, obviously that's one thing going for her, but I mean, I think there were three players in college basketball that scored 50 points this year. Mm-hmm. And she's one of them, an absolute bucket in the same way that Kirsten Bell is. I think the fit with Connecticut is beyond perfect, because if you remember back to last season, it was, you know, in fourth quarters of games, you can only get so much from relying on a big in clutch situations. You still need a guard creator. I'm not saying that Nia can come in and do that right away. She's going to be young, but for me, the potential with kind of her, say she's got a clutch gene, she's got a pull up, she's got exceptional handles. Obviously the defense is going to be tough, but that's the identity of that team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Kurt Miller drills that down. So I think it's an awesome, awesome opportunity, and the fit's going to be great. Good culture there. I mean, I can only imagine watching her and Courtney Williams, like, just shoot around together. Like, insane.
No, it's going to be, she's going to have to compete for a spot too. Just like to be clear, like Atisha Heidemann's there, Carrington's there, and Charles, those three haven't, again, done all the maths quite yet with the new situation with their pick. But I don't think they can keep this pick without one of those three going, which is tough. But like you're saying, I think she brings the thing that they need, not only this year, but long term, you know, because they have Courtney Williams for this year. But if they could get a younger, cheaper replacement that's on their team friendly deal going forward after a year of learning under Courtney Williams, well, that kind of makes sense. I think she can also be a little bit, I think Courtney is not necessarily the person you want as the point guard, just for various reasons. I think it takes some of her explosiveness out. I think she has to look too much to feed other people. I think she's best when she's just like, I'm getting this bucket regardless. I think Nia is best in that too, but I think she also can be like your straight up backup point guard at times. And now I don't think Natisha Heidemann's going anywhere, because last time I checked, she was engaged to the starting point guard on that team. So I'd be very shocked if Natisha Heidemann goes anywhere, but I do think Nia has a really good chance to make the team. I think she brings, like what you're saying, exactly what they need and can be kind of a developmental piece here while also being a good backup in case Courtney Williams gets hurt.
Yeah. I mean, I want to say that talking to like Todd Roman from Beyond Women's Sports, it's like he was kind of putting in throwaway draft picks there just because of the salary cap situation there. But I mean, if they can find a way to make it work, I do like the fit. I mean, I think I saw a lot of people kind of plugging in Veronica Burton there too, which I wouldn't have hated either. I think she fits that identity also. But yeah, that hive is strong. I think.
Oh, we're here.
I think everyone was super joyful seeing her name get called. So, and she was so nice to me. I am not deserving, not worthy. So
yes, you are. We all are. And Nia knows it. So Nia, when you're gonna come on the pod at some point, don't worry. We'll have your people get in touch with, or our people will get in touch with your people. We'll be on the pod soon. Also, I just want to mention like her outfit. It was really funny. Like I had the same exact reaction as my wife. I saw it. I was like, oh, that's really cute. I think my wife would look really good in that. And I showed it to my wife and she was like, oh, that's really cute. I look really good in that. So good job, Nia, for choosing an outfit that caters to both me and my wife. And gives us a good talking point. Unfortunately, Emily was working throughout the draft. If not, I would have had some more reactions from her because she's very funny in these things. Sorry about the jump cut you just saw. That's because Zoom completely quit out on us because it's like it's 11:30 on the East Coast. And buddy, you're not in the Final Four anymore. So please stop doing these midnight podcasts. Nevertheless, we persisted. Let's give Zoom what it wants. So let's try to get out of here in an expedient fashion. So here we go. We're going to go lightning round takes. Dano, you start. We're just going to give takes back and forth, minimal interactions with the takes. So yes. Let's do it. Dano, hit me with one.
Vina Westbrook will be the only UConn player to get playing time this year.
Hot dog. That is a take, friends. Why?
One, she fell way too far. She's got a WNBA body, long, can fill it up. Mm-hmm. And, probably, I mean, if behind Burton and I think, yeah, behind Burton, to me, the strongest defensive guard in this draft.
Yeah, probably.
Yeah.
Okay. I like this. Right. I like this.
What about you?
All right. So I love the Avina Westbrook take as an Avina Westbrook longtime defender. I have to look at what their roster situation is, but I hope that's right. I think here, Kristen Williams, I would pick her, but that's neither here nor there. I'm going with Naz Hillman going at what she was, that's 15. All right. Actually, here's my take. WNBA.com, put the number of the pick next to the player's name, not the number of the pick in the round, because that's pretty useless to me as someone who's trying to do the entire draft. Like, don't put one next to the 12th pick or the 13th pick, because that's what you have it right now. Do 13, 14, 15. We can figure out where we are. Because that was confusing to me for a second. Now on to Naz Hillman. I said Kirsten Bell was a steal of the draft. I think Naz Hillman going to Atlanta could be the steal of the draft. I wouldn't have said that if she went to other places, because I think she's going to have the time to develop in Atlanta and they're going to have time to figure out exactly what she can be. So I think the biggest problem with Nas at the moment is we don't know what she can be. We know she's really good. She has a really high motor and she will work. And she is a good person to have in your locker room. If you got those three things, you can stick around for a little bit. And maybe she just, maybe her destiny is like undersized role player center, like a Rashawn McGray. And that works out because those players you kind of need around. But I think in Atlanta, she's going to have the chance to at least broach her ceiling, figure out what it is. And because of where they are in their rebuild, she will have time to start developing. And I think this is probably going to be the best for her. So my take is that her ending up in Atlanta at 15 could make her the steal of the draft.
I love that take. I think I talked to Coach Barnes-Rico.
Yeah,
for a hot minute. And obviously she's passionate for her player, but wow, that was a whole different type of level of passion than I've ever seen. And I mean, if you've watched Nas Hillman, you've seen her dominate time after time after time. So I do hope it translates. I have another hot take for you.
Okay.
Third round pick, I believe pick 30th overall. Jasmine Dickey will be an all-star in 5 years.
An all-star in 5 years. Book it, folks.
I'm gonna set an alarm on my phone.
Yeah, I want that alarm. I want that alarm. I love Jasmine Dickey. I really do. And shouts to the CAA, the Colonial Athletic Conference.
Fighting Blue Hens.
The fight in Blue Hens. I mean, they've produced some really, really good players.
One pretty good one.
At least one that you know. There's one that you know. So yeah, okay. I'm down with it. I don't think it's gonna happen just for the record.
Yeah,
I disagree.
That's what hot takes are for.
That's what hot takes are for, though. I think it's definitely a fun one. I'm trying to look. It's kind of been I was kind of expecting this to be more of a mid-major player draft. I thought Kirsten Bell was gonna go earlier, and that would set us up more for a lot of the mid-major players. But we did see a lot of them in the third round, along with Dickey, among others. I think here's a hot take. I think New York, I'm trying to decide if they want it's. I think New York got the most upside. There we go. New York got the most upside in this draft because they got Nyara Sabali at 4. Sabali, I don't know. But if she's healthy and she develops, if she's healthy, and that's a huge question. And like I mentioned, she might be a zero because she can't contribute at all, because you can't contribute if you're not playing. And she develops the things that she's good at. I mean, that could be the best player in this draft. Could be. I don't think it's going to happen, but could be. So they got one player, could be the best player in the draft. Their second round pick, they traded for Lorello Kubai. Kubai, I think, could be one of those role players, like I was talking about Nas Hillman, could be kind of like, you know, trying to think of the, it's not Rashawn McGray, it's a little different.
Does she give you more than Kylie Shook this year?
I think she might. That's my point. So I was trying to, she could be, well, I think what she does is she could be a better backup to Steph Dolson. And that could be useful because Steph Dolson has a high foul rate. And I'm not sure you want, Kylie Shook doing what Steph Dolson does. Very so true. there's a potential player there. And then in the third round, they got Sika Kone from Mali, a player we all thought was going to go in the first round. I don't know if she's stashed. I don't know what the deal is. I don't know if she's going to make the roster. And I don't particularly care. I think it's a really cool pick because that player at least has the upside to being and the level of those first round picks. So we're talking about potential starter or potential sixth woman at some point. And maybe it doesn't, maybe none of this pans out and it looks really bad in a few years. But I think for now, if you're a person who's like draft should be about upside, I think New York gave you the draft.
I love that as a local resident of New York City. It's what I love to see. I mean, they made the playoffs last year. People forget that.
Mm-hmm. They did sneak into the playoffs.
So I wanted to do one quick thing with you also. Give me your rookie of the year, but then take out Ryan and Melissa. So, I mean, for me, it's Ryan Howard. So,
okay. Yeah.
I think she's going to just get I think that's like an opportunity level, like just
agreed.
Gonna get so many touches.
Agreed.
But if I can't pick one of those two, and I'm not gonna be boring and pick Shakir Austin.
Well, so here's the thing with Shakir. I don't think Shakir is gonna play all that much. Well, if things go right for the Mystics, Shakir Austin should not play
that much. That's true. It's a developmental pick.
Yeah, so I agree. I'm with you. I'm with you. So who you got?
Ray Burrell.
Interesting. So my problem with Ray Burrell, who went
hit me
ninth to the Sparks, is that I just never saw her healthy this year. And the lift wasn't there. And I know she has it because she showed it on tape from her junior year. So it's like the problem with her winning Rookie of the Year is I'm not sure she's healthy right now. That's my only thing. But I like the take because I think it's off the board. And if you look at, let's look at Los Angeles's, just their depth chart here. I mean, she could end up being their backup two guard or like playing a 2-3 role.
Yeah, I could see her literally, when teams go to lineups they trust, in the fourth, which is usually a mix. I mean, it's why like I want to say Kelsey Plum's, fourth minutes were insane.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't come off the court in the fourth. I'm hyping her up a lot, but if she's healthy on that roster, for those who do bet on the WNBA, I mean, Sparks games are an under machine with the way Derek Fisher has been playing. She could be a huge spark. I mean, I feel like that team is looking for, if she can just come in and be a spot up shooter to start, gain that confidence, to where she can create in the league. I think sky's the limit for her. I mean, I'm hopeful for the Sparks. I mean, obviously they were very unhealthy last year.
Mm-hmm.
The league's fun when the Sparks are good.
Yeah, no. Yeah, sure. sure. I hope they are good because the players on the team seem very nice and I hope they succeed because I'm hoping for everyone's success. As I've said many a time. Now I'm looking now.
It's just looking a hard question.
It's difficult because I'm looking at like who's going to have enough responsibility while also being on a team where they're succeeding. And I think Ryan gets over that because she's the number one pick. So everyone's expecting their team to be bad. And I think Atlanta is going to be, I don't think they're going to make the playoffs, but I think they're going to come close. So I think she might get the bump from that. I don't think any of the Indiana people are good bets, right? There's too many rookies on that team for there to be a rookie of the year. So maybe I might go Veronica Burton here because Burton might depending on what Dallas does, she could be like their backup guard. Like she could be like the first guard or second guard off the bench. Second guard off the bench because Mabry. Yeah. So she'll be the second guard off the bench. And she'll play on a pretty good team that is trying to contend. And make it with Maya Hollingshead too. Just in case. Because like if her shooting's really that real and Becky's like, hey, let's just like go giant at the three and we put Hamby or Hollingshead at the three, she could get a ton of minutes. So
you can make the same argument for Kirsten Bell, just with a little bit less size, right?
Well, I'm assuming that Hollingshead is going to get more minutes than Bell, but maybe you're right. Maybe you're right.
Yeah, it's those are both good choices. Yeah, I'm right with it.
I do think it's right, but we both think it's going to be Ryan Howard, right?
Yeah, for sure. All right, so wait, you kind of said it twice. So who is the steal of the draft if you just had a pick right now? And we say Kirsten Bell. The hot take was, sort of Nas Hillman if, she's good. But Gabe Ibrahim still of the 22 WNBA draft.
I got to go with Kirsten Bell, man. I had her at like four. I forget. Yeah. Let me see. Where do I have her? I know this is Mock Draft 1.0. I should pull up Mock Draft 2.0. You got to go with Bell because I think Bell, I had her at six and she went 11th. And I think she has... It's a low chance that she's a superstar, but there's a chance. And that's more than I can say for all of the people picked after like four or five.
Yeah, I love all the reactions post-draft and all the draft grades. We have no idea, but I mean,
yeah,
we know there's one surefire superstar in this draft, maybe two.
Who knows?
I know.
Here's the thing, folks. Here's the thing. In life, forget about basketball. In life, like 75% of success is based on environment. Pretty much. 75% of success is based on environment. So if any of these players end up in a great spot, like we're thinking that some of these players have ended up, that could boost them to being superstar potential. And if some of them ended up in a bad spot, that could bring them down from being a star to being someone who drifts around the league. So that's the thing with the draft, is like, it's not necessarily just about the player evaluations, because yeah, we could be totally wrong on the player evaluations. It's like, even if we're right on the player evaluations, the environment matters, the coaching matters, the coaching stability matters, the development process, the doctors that each team has, which varies greatly in the WNBA, has an effect on all of this. So that's my always biggest point with the draft, is like, we don't, like you said, we don't know. And two, we don't know what's going to affect the things that we do know.
That's right.
All right. Let's wrap up. It is late. Yes. It is late, folks. And we took the podcast long because I'm involved and I love hearing myself talk. And Dano, thank you for hearing me talk and being on the pod, dude.
I love hearing you talk, and I'll go listen, even though I don't like to listen to myself, just to hear you talk more. It's always the highlight of my weeks.
No, thanks. I never listen to these. I'm kidding, guys. I listen to the podcast, obviously. And we hope you're listening to it. We hope you subscribe, like we mentioned, on YouTube, on your favorite podcast app. We hope you're following us on Twitter, on all social media. We are going to be covering the WNBA, like we always do, comprehensively, trying to go to every single game. We don't know how many games we're going to be able to get to. We don't know where these rookies are going to be. We don't know what's going to happen between now and the start of the season, but we know we'll be there for you. So keep it locked right here on Her Hoop Stats, and we'll talk to you next time.